We were best friends. Built an empire together, luxury clients, high-end secrets, and loyalty that ran deeper than blood, or so I thought. Then she fucked the one man who swore he loved me. She didn't just betray me, she came for my crown. But what she forgot is that I taught her this game. And now, I'm gonna bury her with the same blueprint she stole. Because when a queen goes quiet, a kingdom burns. Welcome to the Skillful Art of Manipulation podcast. If you haven't already, please consider following us on your favorite podcast platform. Today we present to you Lust Over Loyalty. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Unbreakable Bond. So I thought, you ever meet someone who mirrors your hunger, your drive, your hustle, your fuck the world attitude, and you think, damn, this chick is my twin flame in stilettos? That was Ray for me. From the moment I laid eyes on her, soaked in sweat under the strobe lights at that grimy strip club on the east side of Atlanta, I felt it. She wasn't just shaking her ass for tips, she was building something. Plotting. Calculating. I saw it in her eyes. Back then, the club was our grindhouse. Cracked mirrors, sticky floors, and that same bullshit DJ spinning the same five songs every damn night. But we didn't care. We worked the room like it owed us reparations. Ray was all fire and flash, hips that hypnotized, a smile that lied, and legs that never quit. She could milk a man with a look and a lie. I was colder, calculated. I didn't need to dance on stage. I worked the VIP room, whispered sweet nothings that dripped with venom, made men beg to spend money they didn't have just for a chance to feel chosen. We made more money than the other girls combined. But the club started taxing us harder, cuts, fines, all that dirty management shit. We'd had enough. So one night, we sat in Ray's busted Corolla, splitting a blunt, windows fogged up and hearts full of ambition, and she looked at me and said, "Let's stop being the product. Let's run the whole fucking store." And that's how it started. We weren't strippers anymore. We were elite companions. Private, high-end, and always booked. Ray handled the brand. She was tech-savvy, knew how to build a clean website, how to write bios that didn't read like cheap-ass escort ads. She gave us names like Isla and Monet, made us sound like luxury perfume bottles. Me, I was the gatekeeper. I screened every client, no matter how rich or famous they were. If I smelled creep, control freak, or cop, denied. No amount of cash could buy access if I didn't approve. We had rules. Tight ones. No drugs during bookings. No kissing. No falling in love. Most of all, never poach each other's clients. It worked. For a while. We had a rhythm. We lived in a sleek downtown loft, walls lined with designer shoes and champagne bottles, our phones buzzing nonstop with requests. We weren't just surviving, we were dominating. Men threw money at us like it was air, begging for attention, time, affection. We gave them fantasy, nothing more. We kept our hearts on lock and our money clean. Then Donovan fucking King showed up. I still remember the day I met him. Ray had forwarded me an inquiry. Name withheld, net worth not. Private security had cleared him, background check was spotless. The booking came through in full. $12,000 for 4 hours. No sex. Just company. I arrived at the St. Regis penthouse, wrapped in silk and suspicion. The door opened, and there he stood, tall, skin like molten bronze, tailored suit clinging to a frame carved from money and discipline. His eyes were the kind that didn't blink. The kind that measured you. The kind that made you forget your lines. He didn't speak much that first night. He watched. Listened. Sipped a glass of Oban and asked me things no other client ever dared. About my real name, my childhood, my dreams. I didn't answer half of them. But I left with more than just cash. I left feeling seen. Donovan became a regular. Weekly. Then bi-weekly. Then sometimes twice in one weekend. I never offered sex. He never asked. But the tension between us was thick enough to slice. When it finally happened, it wasn't transactional. It was something else. It was slow, intense, like every touch was a question and every moan was the answer. I should have stopped it. Should have reminded myself who I was, what I did. But his arms felt like a safe house I didn't know I needed. And that's when everything started to shift. Ray noticed. Of course she did. She always noticed. At first, she joked about it, called him my walking paycheck, teased me about moaning over millionaires. But her jokes had bite. A little too sharp. Her eyes lingered too long when she mentioned his name. She started being late on uploads, double booking clients, skipping screenings. One day, Donovan's booking didn't show in the system. I called him. He swore he'd booked it. I checked the back end. Nothing. When I confronted Ray, she acted confused. Maybe he backed out. Maybe it didn't go through. Bull. Shit. That was the first crack. The second came when I walked into our closet and found her wearing my favorite red dress. The skin-tight one with the slit up the thigh and the plunging neckline. I hadn't worn it in months, but still, that dress was mine. She stood in front of the mirror, adjusting the straps like she owned them. I stared. She smirked. Damn, sis. Don't look at me like that. It's just a dress. You ain't worn it since fall. I forced a smile. My gut whispered something different, but I ignored it, because that's what we do when we love someone. We ignore the signs. We tell ourselves it's nothing. We let the devil crawl under our skin because he's wearing our best friend's face. Then came the storm. Donovan missed another session. This time I didn't wait. I pulled up. No heads up. No text. Just rage in heels. I took the elevator to his penthouse, heart pounding like a war drum. The door opened. He looked shocked. His shirt was unbuttoned. His belt undone. And on the nightstand, a wine glass. Lipstick stained. A color I recognized. Ray's color. He tried to lie. Said she came over to drop something off. Said it was innocent. But I knew. I knew the moment he said her name too fast. And later, when he called me drunk, guilt tripping through his teeth, he confessed everything. Said she told him I didn't care. That I was just milking him. Said she made him feel wanted. Said he was confused. I didn't cry. Not then. I couldn't. Because betrayal that deep doesn't trigger tears, it triggers silence. That cold, eerie silence that creeps through your soul when the one person you trusted most carves you from the inside. I walked out. He called after me. I didn't turn back. When I got home, Ray was sitting on the couch, scrolling through her phone like she hadn't just ripped the heart out of our sisterhood. I stood there, watching her, studying her. She looked up, smirked. You good, bitch. She didn't even flinch. No guilt, no apology. Just a smug, satisfied look like she'd finally won something she thought I didn't deserve. And that's when I knew. This wasn't just jealousy. This was war. She didn't want Donovan. She wanted to be me. But she forgot who I was. Who I am. I built this game. Every rule, every move, every strategy. I taught her how to walk in heels and play men like cards. I gave her a throne. And now she wants to dethrone me? Nah. This isn't just about a man. It's about respect. It's about principle. It's about the one rule we swore never to break. And she broke it like it meant nothing. So now. Now I'm planning. Plotting. Because when you try to ruin the bitch who built you, you better be ready for the demolition. I'm not gonna fight her with fists. I'm gonna fight her with fire. And when I'm done, there won't be ashes left to sweep. Chapter 2. Sleep with the devil, wake up in flames. I didn't sleep that night. I laid in bed fully dressed, staring up at the ceiling like it owed me answers. My makeup still clung to my skin. Foundation cracked, lashes half lifted, lipstick faded like trust. I could still smell him on my skin. Donovan. And beneath that, her. Ray. The stench of her betrayal clung to me like cheap perfume in a velvet box. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw her smirk. That smug little curve of her lips when she asked me, "You good?" Like she hadn't just fucked the one man who ever made me feel like I wasn't a product with a price tag. And that's the shit that got me. Not the sex. Not even Donovan's weak-ass excuses or half-assed tears. No, it was her audacity. Her fucking nerve. She violated the one rule we never needed to say out loud. Don't cross each other. Ever. I'd taken bullets for her, metaphorically and emotionally. I stood by her when her last man beat her down so bad, she couldn't smile for 2 weeks. I cleaned the blood off her chin. I paid her rent when she blew her savings trying to get her cousin out of jail. I built this damn business with her. Brick by damn brick. And now, she fucked me raw with no warning, no lube, and no apology. So yeah, I was awake. Wide the fuck awake. Every second felt like gasoline being poured on a fire I was trying so hard not to light. But by morning, that fire was burning. And I wasn't trying to put it out anymore. I got up. Took a long, hot shower. Scrubbed every inch of myself like I was erasing the night before. Like I could wash Ray's betrayal out of my pores. I stared at my reflection as the water ran down my face. Naked. Cold. Unforgiving. You know what to do, I whispered to the mirror. You taught that bitch the game. Time to remind her who wrote the playbook. By the time I stepped out, I was dressed in war paint, black bodycon dress, sharp stilettos, no jewelry. Just skin, rage, and quiet revenge. I walked into the living room like I owned it, which I did. I paid more rent than she did. I furnished it. Hell, I picked out that dumb little fake Fendi rug She always bragged about to guests like it was imported. She was on the couch again, scrolling her phone like the snake she was. Coffee in one hand, the other flicking through a feed full of filtered lies. She looked up. "Morning," she said, all sweet like syrup laced with cyanide. "Morning," I echoed, tone flat. I moved past her and grabbed my laptop off the counter. "You heading out early?" she asked, raising one overplucked brow. "Got a meeting," I replied. "Client wanted a breakfast session." She grinned like the devil in Prada. "Donovan again?" I paused. Just a blink. Then I smiled back, tight venomous. "Nope," I lied. "New guy. Fortune 500 type. Likes brunettes who don't backstab their friends." Her smile faltered. Just for a split second. But I saw it. That tiny crack. The moment where guilt tried to push through before ego slammed the door shut. "You're still mad," she said, as if she hadn't just detonated a bomb between us. "It wasn't even serious between y'all. Come on, bitch. We're in business. Ain't no such thing as off-limits unless there's a ring." I laughed. Out loud. The sound came out hard and bitter. "That what you tell yourself to sleep at night?" She shrugged, sipping her coffee. "I don't lose sleep, baby. I win." She should have kept that shit to herself. Because right then I made a decision. I wasn't going to cuss her out. I wasn't going to throw hands or call her names or play petty. I was going to dismantle her. Piece by piece. Not just emotionally, but financially, socially, reputationally. I was going to hollow her out until there was nothing left but the echo of who she used to be. I knew every password she ever used. Every client she ever serviced. Every lie she ever told. I had receipts stacked taller than her confidence. I built our booking system. I coded our privacy layers. I kept records of conversations, messages, hidden folders, videos, all encrypted under a fake server she never even noticed. See, Ray was pretty, charismatic, seductive. But me, I was the infrastructure. And it was time to pull the plug. That night, I went to Donovan's penthouse. Not to fuck. Not to fight. To confirm. He opened the door, guilt already on his face. "Baby, listen. I'm not here for your confessions," I interrupted, walking past him. "I want names. How many times? Where? When?" He hesitated. I turned around slowly, looked him dead in the eyes. "You owe me that. Or I swear to God, Donovan, I will out every dirty little secret you've ever tried to hide behind your wealth." That got him. He poured a drink, sat down, and told me everything. It wasn't just once. It was 6 times. Over the span of 2 months. Hotels. My apartment. His condo. Even once in the fucking backseat of my car. And you know what the worst part was? She said you were too focused on the business. That you weren't really into me. That she cared. That she saw me. I closed my eyes. My hands shook, but I steadied them. Every word etched itself into my bones like a tattoo I couldn't scrub off. When I left, I didn't slam the door. I didn't cry. I didn't scream or throw shit or burn his clothes like some dramatic bitch in a Tyler Perry film. I just smiled. Because now I had everything I needed. By the end of that week, I'd rerouted all client inquiries to a new private site, my site. The domain was almost identical, but the branding was sharper, sexier, more exclusive. I removed Ray's photos. Changed our contact number. Updated bios to say she had retired. She didn't even know. She was too busy out with Donovan, flaunting a man she thought was her trophy, and not my discarded pawn. I called 3 of our top clients personally. Told them Ray had been caught stealing from the company, compromising client privacy. I even sent screenshots I'd faked. Messages where she supposedly sold contact info to gossip sites. All of them ghosted her immediately. Then I went deeper. I deleted her main profile from our luxury escort directory, gone. Vanished. Then I reported her alternate profile for explicit solicitation under a false identity. Got her blacklisted from 2 major networks. She came home one night, threw her purse on the counter, furious. "Yo, have you seen the site? It's down. All my regulars just stopped hitting me up. What the fuck is going on?" I looked up from my wine. "Shit, Ray. Sounds like karma finally stopped by." She froze. "What the hell does that mean?" I sipped slow. "Means maybe you should have thought twice before putting your pussy where your loyalty used to be." Her eyes narrowed. "You did this." I smiled. "No, baby. You did this. I just helped the universe deliver the message." She lunged at me. I caught her wrist midair. And for the first time since we met, she looked scared. Good. Because this ain't over. Not by a long shot. This was just the beginning of her fall. She wanted my throne. She can choke on the ashes. Chapter 3. built on betrayal, paid in pain. You know what no one ever tells you about betrayal? It's not the moment it hits you. It's the silence after. The slow, creeping realization that the person you trusted with your darkest secrets, your ugliest truths, the parts of you that even your mother couldn't love, used it all against you. It's the pause between the scream and the sob, when your chest feels too tight to breathe and your pride screaming louder than your pain. That's what I felt as I stood in that apartment, the same one we moved into together when we thought the world was ours for the taking. Watching Ray realize she'd just stepped into a trap she didn't even know I'd set. She wasn't used to being played. She thought she was the puppet master. She thought wrong. The moment she lunged at me, nails like claws, face twisted in rage, I saw her for what she really was. Not a queen. Not a partner. Not even a rival. Just another pretty girl who thought being ruthless was enough to run a kingdom. I caught her wrist mid-swing like I was swatting a fly, and the look in her eyes changed. It was subtle, but I caught it. Fear. Not the kind that makes you run. The kind that makes you freeze. The kind that whispers you picked the wrong bitch. You done? I asked her, my voice calm but sharp enough to slit throats. She didn't answer. Just yanked her arm back, stormed into her bedroom, and slammed the door like we were in high school. Childish. I sat down on the couch, lit a cigarette, something I hadn't done in years, and exhaled slow, letting the smoke curl through the tension like punctuation on a sentence I hadn't finished writing yet. She still didn't know the half of what I'd done. Her bookings were gone, her reputation was in free fall, and within 48 hours, her name would be plastered across the blacklist in every private agency between Atlanta and Miami. And when the Whisper Network started doing what they do best, talking, her inbox would turn into a fucking graveyard. But that wasn't enough. Because pain is more than loss. Pain is isolation. Humiliation. Watching everything you built, everything you love, fall apart in slow motion. While the one person you betrayed thrives in the ruins. That was the justice I was aiming for. So while Ray locked herself in her room like a toddler who'd been told no, I went to work. I started with her socials. She didn't know I still had access. Back when we were tight, she'd sent me her login just in case of an emergency. She forgot about that. I didn't. I logged in and scheduled posts, subtle shady captions that hinted at her retirement, her declining mental health, and her unprofessional behavior. I didn't need to scream it. Just whispered the idea into the world and let the vultures run with it. Then I hit her private OnlyFans. Deleted every video. Wiped her subscription list. Messaged her top tippers with fake farewell messages and offered them discount codes for my page. Cold? Sure. Calculated? Absolutely. Necessary? You fucking bet. Because this wasn't just revenge. This was reclamation. She didn't just sleep with a man I cared about. She dismantled our empire from the inside. She took what we built and tried to wear it like it was hers alone. And now she was gonna feel what it was like to stand in the rubble. 3 days passed. She didn't leave her room much. The few times she did, she was glued to her phone, pacing the living room in a panic. I'd overhear pieces of her conversations, frustrated whispers, strained laughter, forced calm. They're not responding. I don't know what happened. No, I didn't say that. Bro, I swear, I didn't send that link. She was spiraling. Beautifully. On the fourth day, she finally broke. I was in the kitchen, pouring myself a glass of wine, when she came in. No makeup. Hair wild. Hoodie on. Socks mismatched. She looked like a shell of herself. I know what you did, she said, voice low but shaking. I took a slow sip. You'll have to be more specific. Don't play with me, Laya. You've been in my shit. You changed the site. You stole my clients. You wiped my page. What the fuck is wrong with you? I laughed. Genuinely. Like she just told the funniest joke in the world. What's wrong with me? I asked, stepping closer. What's wrong with me, Ray? You think you can stab me in the back, fuck my man, and smile in my face like nothing happened? You made this bed. Now go cry in it. Tears welled up in her eyes, but I didn't feel sorry. Not even a little. I didn't mean to, she started. Save it. You knew exactly what you were doing. She tried to play victim. Said Donovan came on to her. Said she was lonely. Said she missed being wanted. Bitch, please. You were never lonely, Ray, I snapped. You were greedy. You wanted to be me so bad, you stole the one thing you thought made me soft. But let me remind you, Donovan didn't build me. I was a savage before he showed up, and I'll still be one long after he's gone. She backed up, tears spilling now. But I didn't stop. You think because you got a pretty face and good pussy, that makes you irreplaceable? Let me tell you something, sweetheart. There's 1,000 girls out there hungrier than you, smarter than you, loyal as fuck, and ready to grind. You're just a placeholder. And your time just ran the fuck out. She stormed out the apartment that night. I didn't follow. Didn't call. Didn't care where she went. But I knew where she'd end up. Because you can't sleep with the devil and expect to wake up with angels. And Ray, she was about to learn what it really meant to play dirty in a world I created. Later that night, Donovan called. I let it ring. And ring. And ring. Eventually I answered. Not because I missed him, but because I wanted him to hear the indifference in my voice. What? I said. Laya, look, I fucked up. I know I did. But she told me shit that made me think. I cut him off. She lied. You believed her. That makes you just as guilty. Silence. You said you saw me, I continued. Saw the real me. Turns out, you only saw what you wanted to fuck. I didn't mean. I'm done with you, Donovan. Don't call me again. I hung up. Then I blocked him. Because closure wasn't a conversation. Closure was power. And I wasn't handing mine over to a man who couldn't tell the difference between a queen and a counterfeit. By the end of the week, I had new clients. New money. New connections. Ray? She was sleeping on someone's couch, trying to clean up the mess she made. Donovan? He was a ghost, unbooked, unwanted, irrelevant. And me? I was rising. Unbothered. Untouched. Unforgiving. But don't get it twisted, this wasn't the end. This was just the reckoning. Because the deeper you bury betrayal, the harder it comes back to bite. And I had one more lesson to teach before the dust could settle. Chapter 4. When a queen goes quiet, a kingdom burns. There's a certain kind of silence that doesn't mean surrender. It's not weakness. It's not defeat. It's the kind of silence you hear before a bomb goes off. The kind of quiet that wraps around your bones and whispers, something is coming, and you won't be ready when it does. That's where I was, silent. Calm. Calculating. Dangerous. Because real queens don't scream. They don't throw tantrums. They don't beg. They move in silence like black velvet over a loaded pistol. And when they strike, the world doesn't even realize what happened until they're choking on smoke and rubble. Ray thought the worst was over. She thought disappearing for a few days would cool things off. That time would soften my edge. That maybe I'd cry it out, drink it out, fuck it out, and welcome her back with open arms. She underestimated me. Again. The night she left, she posted one of those cryptic-ass quotes on her Instagram story. White text on a black background. Some tired shit about healing and learning lessons and losing fake friends. I didn't respond. Didn't repost. Didn't even blink. I just poured another glass of wine, curled up on my velvet couch, and began phase two. The thing about rebuilding your empire? It's not about speed. It's about precision. You don't just slap on a new logo and change your name. You redesign your entire infrastructure. Cleaner, sleeker, more lethal. I launched a new brand, the Silk Syndicate. Private membership only. Invitations sent to elite clientele I handpicked from our former roster. I doubled my rates. Stripped down my offerings. No more girlfriend experiences. No more emotional handholding. I became the high-end, cold-blooded, untouchable siren that men dreamed about but never dared approach without a deposit and a signature. Within 5 days, my inbox was flooded. Not just from new clients, but from old ones. They weren't even asking about Ray. They knew the rules. When a name disappears from the menu, you don't ask why. You just order what's still available and shut the fuck up. I was booked out for 3 weeks straight. Meanwhile, Ray was out here trying to rebrand herself like a phoenix rising out of Dollar Tree ashes. She launched her own site. Cheap colors. Stolen photos. Her new alias? Luna Star. Bitch. It was embarrassing. But I let her cook. Let her believe she still had a shot. I watched from the shadows as she scrambled to gain traction, DMing old clients, begging influencers to repost her stories, doing discount promos like she was selling lip gloss instead of pussy. She didn't understand the damage I'd done. Her name was already poison. Her accounts were flagged. Her name redlined in every private circle that mattered. Even the lower-tier networks knew not to touch her. Her brand was like an STD. Everyone wanted to know if she was contagious. I didn't even have to move anymore. She was burning her own kingdom down. I just handed her the matches and walked away. Then came the party. Ray tried to act like she was unbothered, posting stories from some rented rooftop with a fake fur and a bottle of Vuve like she was living her best life. It was her birthday. She invited industry heads, sugar daddies, promoters, influencers, anyone with clout or cash. And guess what? I got an invite. Not from her, of course. from the event planner, who I knew personally from back in our early club days. "Just a heads up," she texted. "Ray booked me to throw a networking party for her new brand. Girl, it's a damn mess. But she asked if I'd extend the invite to you, off the record. You coming?" I didn't answer right away. I sat with it, smiled, and said, "Absolutely." The night of the party, I showed up late. On purpose. I wanted to be the storm that walked in after the rain. The venue was small, overpriced, and already half empty. People were mingling, sipping cheap champagne, pretending not to see each other's insecurities leaking through their makeup and overpriced outfits. Then I walked in. Silk black jumpsuit. Hair slicked back. Red lips. No jewelry. Just me. In control. Ice cold. Unfazed. The room shifted. Eyes turned. Whispers floated. I saw her across the room, laughing too loud, clinging to a man who looked like he paid for company in hourly installments. And then she saw me. Her face froze. Smile flickered. Eyes narrowed. I didn't wave. Didn't approach. I let her stew in it. Let her mind spiral with questions. Why is she here? How did she find out? Did someone betray me? I didn't need to do anything else. My presence was the violence. I circled the room, collecting connections, making quiet impressions. I had no business cards. No pitch. Just aura. Energy. Command. Within 20 minutes, I'd pulled 3 potential clients, 1 promoter, and 2 influencers who recognized me from somewhere and wanted to collab. Ray tried to save face. She strutted over with her fake smile and venom in her voice. "Well, well, well. Look who couldn't stay away." I turned slowly. Let her eat up every inch of my calm before I responded. "Networking, remember?" I said. "You invited me." Her smile cracked just slightly. "Didn't think you'd actually show." I leaned in, voice low, words sharp. "Sweetheart, you don't get to throw a party in my city without me showing up to collect the rent." Her eyes flicked. She wanted to say something. Probably had a whole monologue rehearsed. But the music shifted, and someone called my name from across the room. I winked and walked away. She stood there alone, burning. And I didn't look back. That night, I posted 1 photo. Black and white. Just a side profile. My hand holding a glass of champagne. The caption? "Some thrones can't be stolen. They have to be earned." No tags. No names. But everybody knew who the fuck it was for. My inbox exploded. The silence between me and Ray turned from awkward to hostile. She tried to clap back, posted half-assed reels with captions about loyalty over clout, vague threats, subtweets that didn't land. Meanwhile, I was ascending. Bigger bookings. Private jets. NDA clients with 7-figure retainers. I was turning down money. Turning down money. And her? She was giving away time for free. The fall was slow. Painful. Beautiful. But I wasn't done. Because the next move wasn't about survival. It was about legacy. And the next time I speak her name, it'll be to bury it. Chapter 5. Queens don't chase, they conquer. They say revenge is a dish best served cold. But I say it's best served silent, unannounced, unexpected, and unforgettable. Because queens don't chase the ones who betrayed them. They don't run behind loyalty that turned counterfeit. And they damn sure don't beg to be respected in rooms they built from the ground up. No. Real queens conquer. And by now, that's exactly what I was doing, piece by piece, breath by breath, reclaiming every inch of ground that Ray tried to snatch from under me. The old me? She might have clapped back on socials. Might have aired everything out in public, dragged Ray name by name, man by man. She might have cried, screamed, begged the universe to make it right. But I wasn't that girl anymore. That version of me died the night Ray smiled in my face, after fucking Donovan behind my back. That version got buried under every missed booking, every lie she whispered into the ears of our clients, every fake hug she gave me while plotting her next move. Now I was the woman who didn't just want justice. I wanted to burn her legacy to the ground and build mine on top of the ashes. The shift started with power. Not petty wins. Not likes. Not followers. Power. And in our world, power meant exclusivity, access, influence, and control over the clientele no one else could touch. So I expanded. No more solo bookings. I started recruiting. Quietly. Carefully. Women I trusted. Women I vetted the way I used to screen clients. Thoroughly, aggressively, with zero tolerance for bullshit. Every girl I brought in was bad, sharp, and loyal. Survivors like me. No plastic personalities. No filters needed. Just pure hunger and clean game. And they all knew one thing. No one fucks over Laya and walks away whole. I launched a private referral network, off-grid and invite-only. No links, no hashtags, just encrypted messages, burner phones, and face-to-face contact. Men with private jets and clean reputations flocked to it like it was a secret society, which in many ways it was. And guess what? They paid in silence. No questions asked. I kept the girls protected. High security. NDAs tighter than a drum. Every booking confirmed by voice. Every payment cleared before a shoe even touched the marble floors of a hotel suite. We weren't escorts anymore. We were assets. And I was the goddamn broker of pleasure and discretion. Meanwhile, Ray kept trying to bounce back. She started offering coaching packages online, teaching girls how to build a brand, how to monetize your image, charging $199 for Zoom sessions on confidence and seduction. She even tried launching a healing podcast, talking about trauma and transformation like she hadn't been the trauma herself. But word gets around. Even in silence, the streets talk. Her name was bad business now. Her bookings dried up. Her Instagram engagement tanked. Girls started DMing me asking if I had room on my team, some of her old friends. She didn't know it yet, but she was becoming irrelevant. And that's worse than hate. You can survive hate. But irrelevance? That's a death sentence in our world. Then one night, I got the call that changed everything. It wasn't from a client. It was from a woman named Miranda Reyes, VP of a luxury concierge company in Miami that specialized in high-end experiences for international clients. She'd heard whispers about the syndicate. About me. I've got a private roster of A-list clients flying in for a 3-week executive summit, she said. They're looking for connection. Not just sex. The full package. Confidence. Conversation. Class. She asked me to vet the girls. To build her team. No interviews. No auditions. Just trust. I told her I'd call back. But I already knew my answer. This was the door to global dominance. The entry point to a level of clientele that didn't just pay, they invested. And that meant visibility. The one thing Ray couldn't handle. A week later, I touched down in Miami with two of my top girls, Nyla and Aria. Both bossed up. Both fierce. We met Miranda at a rooftop restaurant so private, it didn't even have signage. She was sharp, 40s, tailored suit, diamonds subtle but unmistakable. She didn't blink. Didn't smile too wide. She spoke like she was already 10 steps ahead. I've met a lot of girls, she said, sipping her martini. But not many women. She looked at me. You're a woman. I nodded. And I don't run an escort agency. I run a power network. We're not here to fuck. We're here to ruin every man's idea of what a woman should be. And charge accordingly. She smirked. You're in. When the syndicate officially partnered with Miranda's company, my inbox became a war zone. Bookings. Requests. Offers for exclusivity. NDA deals. Investment pitches. Magazine features disguised as interviews for female entrepreneurs redefining success. I turned most of it down, because I wasn't hungry anymore. I was strategic, but one thing did catch my eye. A podcast. Power, Pussy, and Prestige. Hosted by none other than Ray. She rebranded. Again. Same voice. Same empty messages. Same recycled quotes about knowing your worth and healing in silence. But this time, she mentioned me. Didn't say my name. But it was me. I knew it. Sometimes, the people who teach you the game will be the first to punish you for playing it better than them. That was her little jab. And I let it sit. Didn't respond. Didn't post. Didn't call. Because responding to dust only stirs it up. And I had no interest in stirring anymore. I was building. A month later, I walked into a women's networking gala hosted in Miami. An elite circle of brand owners, CEOs, influencers, and media execs. Black tie. Red carpet. Every camera watching. And who was standing near the bar? Ray. Alone. Fidgeting in a dress that didn't fit her spirit. Talking to nobodies. Laughing too loud. Still trying to convince the world she mattered. She saw me walk in. And this time, she didn't smile. She didn't smirk. She didn't say shit. She looked away. Because she knew. She lost. Not because I beat her. But because I surpassed her. There's no comeback from that. Queens don't chase. We watch. We wait. We rebuild in silence and rise in power. And when we move, we don't need to announce the takeover. Because the crown always finds its way back to the one who never needed to borrow it. Chapter 6, The Cost of Her Crown. People love the image of the queen. The elegance. The throne. The way she commands a room without speaking. The silk dresses. the champagne, the whispered respect that follows her every move. But no one ever asks her about the weight. No one asks what it costs to wear the crown, what it takes to build an empire out of betrayal and blood. No one sees the broken pieces she swallows to keep her smile sharp, the nights she spends curled around her ambition because it's the only thing that hasn't walked out or lied to her. I thought I wanted power. I chased it like it was oxygen. And when I finally had it, when I stood at the top of the mountain I'd burned everything to climb, I realized I couldn't breathe. It hit me on a Tuesday. Random as hell. I was in the penthouse suite of the Seta, barefoot on polished marble, sipping a green juice I didn't even like. A silk robe draped over my shoulders. My phone buzzing every 10 seconds with new requests, new offers, new ways to make more money, gain more control, cement more dominance. And then, the quiet came. I looked around the suite. The infinity pool shimmered. The view of the Miami skyline glowed. My girls were out working a private yacht party. Miranda was closing a deal in Dubai. And I had everything. But it didn't feel like everything. It felt hollow. Like I'd built a cathedral out of steel and fire, and sealed myself inside it. I couldn't remember the last time I'd laughed. Not that fake influencer laugh for the camera. I mean real laughter. Gut laughter. Joy. I couldn't remember the last time I'd trusted anyone who didn't need to sign an NDA first. And worst of all, I couldn't remember the last time I felt anything other than satisfaction from someone else's downfall. That night I dreamt of Ray. Not the monster she'd become, but the girl I first met. The girl with big eyes and cheap lashes, dancing under strobe lights like the pole owed her back pay. The girl who used to fall asleep on my shoulder after a long shift. The girl who cried when her mom overdosed and clutched my hand like it was the only thing anchoring her to the world. In the dream, we were laughing. Just laughing. Like nothing had ever gone wrong. When I woke up, I couldn't breathe. My chest was tight. My throat felt full. I sat up, pushed the sheets off, and walked to the mirror. And for the first time in a long time, I didn't recognize the woman staring back at me. Not because she was weak, but because she looked exhausted. The next day, Ray called. I almost didn't answer. Almost let it ring and disappear into voicemail like I had a dozen times before. But something inside me, something quiet, something old, pressed accept. Hello. Her voice was soft. No fire. No venom. Just tired. Laya. Silence stretched between us like barbed wire. I'm not calling to fight, she said. I had a dream last night. About us. Before all the bullshit. I closed my eyes. Sat down on the edge of the bed. The silence said more than either of us could. You know, she continued. I told myself for months that I didn't care. That I did what I had to do. That you had changed and I was just protecting myself. But I lied. To you. To me. To everyone. I said nothing. Just listened. Heart thudding. I was jealous of you, she admitted, voice cracking. You had something I didn't. Not just the clients. Not just the money. You had control. Over yourself. Over them. Over me. And I hated you for it. She paused. I could hear her crying now, quiet and broken. I ruined the only real thing I ever had. And I know I can't fix it. I just needed you to know I'm sorry. I swallowed hard. My throat felt raw. Ray, I said, my voice lower than a whisper. I believed in you. More than anyone. I know. More silence. Then she said, goodbye, Laya. And the line went dead. I stared at my phone for what felt like an hour. My hands were shaking. Not from anger. Not from sadness. From grief. Because it hit me then, Ray wasn't the enemy. She was the mirror. She showed me the parts of myself I didn't want to see. The ambition that turned to obsession. The control that turned into isolation. The pain I never healed from, only weaponized. She betrayed me, yes. But she also loved me. In her own broken, chaotic, selfish way. And I loved her too. Maybe I still did. But loving someone doesn't mean they get to stay. Sometimes the most painful thing a queen ever has to do is choose the crown over the connection. Later that week, I got an email from Miranda. Subject line, TEDx invite. The message? They want you to speak. Topic, the psychology of power and female dominance in modern business. Think about it. I stared at the screen. For the first time in my life, I hesitated. Not because I wasn't ready, but because I realized something deeper. I'd spent so long building a throne made of granite and glass, designed to withstand betrayal, storm, and fire, that I forgot to build a seat beside it. For softness. For sisterhood. For something more than war. Was I proud of what I'd done? Absolutely. But was I happy? I didn't know. I went to the beach that night. Alone. No heels. No lashes. No filters. Just me. Bare feet in the sand. Waves crashing like thunder in the distance. Sky painted in streaks of lavender and black. And I cried. Not loud. Not messy. Just tears that slipped down like truth, like honesty, like freedom. I cried for the girl I used to be. I cried for Ray. I cried for the price I paid to become untouchable. And when I was done, I stood, straightened my back, lifted my chin, because tears don't make me weak. They make me real. And this queen, she may wear a crown, but beneath it, she's still human. Chapter 7. The last lie she'll ever tell. Some endings don't come with fireworks. They don't announce themselves with dramatic exits or slow-motion betrayals. Sometimes the most brutal endings show up in silence, unspoken, uninvited, undeniable. Like a ghost with your face and your voice, reminding you that no matter how far you run, you can't escape what you let in. I thought I was done with Ray. I really did. After that last phone call, after the tears, the confession, the brokenness, after the raw honesty of it all, I thought I had finally buried that chapter. I let the grief settle like dust on an unused shelf, convinced I'd closed the book. But people like Ray, they don't walk away quietly. They need an audience for their final act. It started with a ping. Just a random, late-night text from Miranda. You might want to look at this. Thought you should hear it from me first. Attached was a link. Private. Password protected. A video. I hesitated. For the first time in months, I felt fear creeping back into my throat, acidic and sharp. My gut twisted, instincts flaring. I poured myself a drink, sat on the edge of the bed and pressed play. The screen went black for a second. Then it flickered. And there she was. Ray. Sitting on a white couch in a dimly lit studio. Hair pulled back. Eyes red-rimmed but deliberate. Calm. Cold. Calculated. She looked straight into the camera. This is for the people who think they know the story, she said. The ones who heard Lyra's version and believed it without question. My heart didn't drop. It detonated. She fucking recorded a tell-all. And not just any tell-all. It was a full hour of narrative spinning, half-truths twisted into blades, details deliberately warped to make me look like a manipulative tyrant. She said I was abusive, said I emotionally controlled her, said I sabotaged her business because I couldn't handle competition. She didn't just betray me, she said, eyes welling up on cue. She tried to erase me. She played clips, old videos from our early business meetings, recorded without my knowledge, took screenshots of messages and distorted the context, made it sound like I was the one who crossed the line first. She even dropped my legal name. Publicly. I watched the whole thing. Twice. And I didn't cry. I didn't scream. I didn't punch walls or throw glasses across the room. I just sat there. Still. Quiet. Because I finally understood something so fucking devastating, it made my skin crawl. Ray never wanted revenge. She wanted immortality. And if she couldn't have it by building something real, she'd have it by ruining something sacred. The next morning, my name was trending. Not for the right reasons. Podcasts were already reacting. Bloggers were reposting snippets. Whispers of cancellation swirled like sharks in bloody water. Even some of the clients started backing out, scared to be linked with me in case the headlines got bigger. I wasn't just under attack. I was being erased. She came for my crown. And this time, she came swinging with an audience and a script. I had two choices: hide and let the storm consume me, or step into the fire and burn everything down with precision. I chose the latter. First, I called Miranda. She'd seen the video. She knew the business was bleeding. And she didn't even ask me if it was true. She said, "What do you want to do?" I told her the truth. All of it. The full truth. But on my stage. Not hers. And she delivered. 2 days later, I sat down in a studio of my own. Same white couch. Same lights. But this time, no script. Just me. Real. Unfiltered. Raw. I looked straight into the camera and told my story. Our story. From the beginning. From the strip club days, the loyalty, the rise, the betrayal. Every detail. Every scar. Every choice. And then I did what Ray couldn't. I owned my shit. I built something powerful, I said. And in the process, I became colder. Sharper. Less forgiving. That's real. But what I never did was lie about who I was. I never manipulated someone I called a sister. I never stole from her. I never slept with the one person she said was off limits. I pulled up receipts she didn't think I saved. Full context. Screenshots. Voicemails. Messages. I laid it all bare. I exposed the moments Ray left out. I exposed the people who'd seen the real her and stayed silent out of fear or guilt. And I ended it with this. I didn't build my empire to play victim. I built it because no one was coming to save me. So if you believe her, that's your choice. But if you know me, you know this, queens don't crumble. We rebuild. And we don't fight for attention. We fight for truth. It went viral. Not just because it was emotional, but because it was real. The silence after was louder than anything I'd ever experienced. People stopped talking about her reveal and started questioning everything she'd said. Clients came back. Followers multiplied. Even people who never liked me admitted it. They respected me. And Ray, she tried to clap back, posted another video. But by then, no one cared. Her voice had become white noise. She became exactly what she feared most. Forgettable. A few weeks later, I got an anonymous letter. No return address. No signature. Just one sentence written in shaky handwriting. You took everything from me. But you were right. I never deserved the crown. I stared at it for a long time. No rage. No victory. Just peace. Because that was the last lie she'd ever tell. And this? This was the truth that would echo long after both of us were gone. The crown wasn't made of gold. It was made of grit. Of loyalty. Of sacrifice. And in the end, only one of us was willing to bleed for it without blaming the world for the wounds. That's what separates queens from the ones who just wear the costume. And me, I don't just wear the crown. I became it. Yendi.